And welcome everybody to Overtime here on YouTube. Well, hopefully we all made it into the realm of the internet. Kyle, you're here?
Yes.
And Rob T. Firefly?
Yes, indeed.
And Gila?
Hello.
And Alex?
Yep. Yeah, it wasn't even too rough a transition today.
And we can confirm that we're actually on YouTube?
Yes, indeed. We've just popped onto YouTube, and we're sounding good.
Okay, all right. Well, welcome, everybody. Did we want to talk any further about the things we were talking about, or we just want to open up the phones?
Alex, I wanted to ask you about something, if we have a minute. I saw the thread you were posting yesterday about the DNS stuff involving the infamous Luigi. And I wondered if you wanted to talk about that a bit.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, we could have brought that up during the regular show, too. Yeah, it's interesting. So I started monitoring in the domain name system in the DNS for the terms Luigi and Mangione that obviously became very well-known terms in the media when they identified the assassin about whom we spoke last week. I know he would love to call him just a murderer, but yeah, I still maintain he was an assassin. But so what I watched it was actually really quite interesting. It was kind of funny, you know, that there was this massive influx of domains that were registered. And what was fascinating to see about the pattern of these registrations is that they all were so in favor of Luigi Mangione. None of them were critical of him. None of them called him a murderer or anything. A lot of them had to deal with pardoning Mangione or glorifying him or saying, you know, we are Luigi, we are Mangione, free Mangione. Now, so there was this really interesting mix of domains. And then today I was going to post a few of the others. There was actually even more domains registered today than there were yesterday, including some that were deliberately malicious, that were trying to promote some kind of false Solana-based token, which is, which would have connected into your wallet and then connected you with a smart contract, a malicious smart contract, one of the blockchains that was a wallet drainer as well. So you were already even seeing this being weaponized in the DNS. But watching this, what I was arguing about was, you know, can you put your finger on public sentiment by just looking at DNS data? And I really think you can.
You think that's public sentiment? Just ripping people off and glorifying murders?
No. There was nothing negative said about Mangione and any of these domains that were registered. They were all pro Mangione.
Well, who is going to go out and register a domain to criticize somebody who is being booked for murder? It just doesn't, you know, what attention are you going to get during that?
This was a really controversial figure. You would think you would have people on both sides of the issue.
Yeah, but you got to pay money to register a domain. Why would somebody do that just to say, yeah, he's guilty? You know, I could see, you know, to get somebody riled, like, you know, he's getting you riled, obviously, by you know, the people doing this are you know, offending people by saying, yeah, he deserves a pardon. I think it's looking for a reaction, and you won't get much of a reaction if you just go with the status quo of, yeah, murder is bad.
Well, you should see some of the domains that are out there. You'd be really surprised. But even
I don't think I would be. I doubt I would be.
Is it statistically representative of the populace?
I don't think it's representative of the populace at all. I think it's representative of a few loudmouths who
domains.
Yeah, I mean, who does that exactly? You know, to say a viewpoint.
Well, a lot of people will. I mean, it's a massively popular thing to do, and people will snatch up these domains because they think others might want to make that message as well. So there's speculation.
They're opportunists wanting to get attention. That's what they are doing. But if you go out and you ask 100 people on the street, I don't think you're going to get anything near that kind of proportion of people that glorify what he did.
Yeah, inferring that meaning from that isn't necessarily like a measure of the broader sentiment.
Yeah, go ahead, Gila.
No, that's what I was going to say, is that I'm assuming that this is a lot of speculative, you know, there's like TrumpPardonLuigi.com is one of them, and it's not like anything is going to happen with that for the next while. But I always wanted, I also wanted to ask a question which is completely unrelated, but is from the chat.
Another way that the chat hijacks a conversation. Completely unrelated? Okay, no problem. Well, yeah, just let's drive off to the shoulder of the road now and answer this question.
Well, someone did say, I'm confused. What's the point? And why would people side with private health care?
Side with private? Well, hold on a second. Are we saying if you say murdering a CAO is bad, you're siding with private health care? That's where we are now?
I mean, Alex, has there been a similar rise in, you know, has anybody taken the URL RIP Brian Thompson or anything of that nature?
I haven't been monitoring the DNS for Thompson in particular. I've really just been focusing on.
Interesting
Luigi.
That you didn't do that, Alex. I wonder why.
Well, no, I did actually think about, well, it was a mistake to not start monitoring for United Healthcare when this thing started, because it would have been that would have been fascinating as well to see those deltas. I can still go back in time and do it. It's just a lot of effort for me to, you know, anyhow, I don't have to go into all the details about that. But Gila, with respect to any stance taken on Luigi himself, they've all been universally positive. But even like some weird domains too that have popped up. Like there's one that was just strange, actually. It was kind of cool looking too. It was Luigi AI16Z.com. And it resolved to a web page that displayed what looked like a terminal session. And in the terminal session, it tried to display a video. And then the video was pulled from YouTube. But it says, video unavailable. This video is no longer available because the YouTube account associated with this video has been terminated. So I wonder what the hell that was. That was something weird that was up there that got taken down.
Or it could be completely unrelated. You just used the word Luigi, right? It's a very common name.
But it would be weird that domain popped up the day after his name was announced to the press.
Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead.
We do have a clarifying question. The listener 83Y said, when I said, what's the point? I was referring to scanning DNSs. Oh. So far, you've called out crypto and AI bullcrap IMO.
Who was that addressed to?
Probably
I don't know who it's addressed to. I'm just reading it.
Okay, well, I don't know who it's addressed to either. I'm just listening.
Was there any others from the...
Someone else said, I think you can only make sense of this trend in comparison with other breaking news events. I bet this happens every time.
Sure,
and I believe
yeah.
It does happen a lot, but I'm willing to assume, and Alex, I think this is part of what you were pointing out, that it's all been uniformly supportive. And I'm wondering, based on some things that I've heard, is there a concept of, like, is there a Luigi is hot kind of vein in these things?
Oh, good God.
Sub vein.
Well, I'll tell you that there are some curious ones. I can pull them all up.
I don't know why you're paying attention to that. Why are you giving them more publicity? It's just obviously a cheap way of gaining attention for something, you know, and saying something that's offensive to many people. You know?
Oh, how about that? I mean, there's one, you know, Luigi Wick. They're all like, you know, about pardoning him or him being a hero.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something, Alex, the reason why we're seeing an upswing in this is because people have lost respect for law and order based on things that have been happening in this country. I'm talking about people not being held accountable for their crimes, you know, being held to a standard that none of us can possibly approach. It doesn't mean anything anymore. They're dismantling the FBI. They're tearing apart all kinds of things that we depend upon to maintain law and order. So, yeah, you're guilty of murder. Doesn't matter anymore. Everybody gets a free pass. That's kind of where I think a lot of people are coming from.
Yeah, I think they very well may be, but you know, there's obviously this kind of notion that he did something, you know, for the public. There's a bunch of domains. We are all Luigi.
Oh, good God!
but I will tell you the most curious one, and this is what I think the gentleman or gentlewoman, I guess, in the chat that had referenced whether or not some of these domains were kind of hinting that this guy was hot or whatever. The one that stands out in my mind was slutsforluigi.com that showed up the day after this was
And what
announced.
Does this knowledge get us? What do we...
What's interesting is it seems to be entirely speculative. Nobody's done anything with that domain yet. You would think with a very specific name like that,
give it time.
You would
give
have
it time.
Something
no,
in mind.
No, all they know is to say a couple of words that will trigger people. They don't know how to make a website. They just know how to register a site and be done with it. And now we're talking about it. So, you know, mission accomplished for them, but... You know, it's not what most rational people don't think that way. I really don't believe that.
Oh, well, I don't think that everybody does, but I think you can make some kind of extrapolations about this, though.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I think the main interesting thing about this, like Alex was saying, is that when any big event happens in the news, when any sort of major thing is going on, you know, you'll see tons of sites go up. You'll see everyone trying to, you know, get on the train about it, whether it's, you know, speculative domains they think they're going to make, you know, cash out on it, or selling T-shirts or stickers or what have you. People are going to try and capitalize on the story from any end possible. And in this case, it seems to be basically one-sided, which is fascinating.
Kyle.
Capitalizing, but also I think with a situation like this, it is symbolic. And you think of the types of things that he's alleged to have been reading and referencing, and other big sort of symbolic things. I'm thinking like Oklahoma City and these kind of domestic, quote, terror events, or however you classify or categorize them. I think that it puts the witnesses, the survivors of the events in a position to ingest both their act and what they're trying to point out, but also their crime, which is itself in a vacuum, sort of its own moral quandary, right? You have to determine, and in this case, he'll be coming before a judge, and that will be determined. But separating those two, I think it blurs basically what the crime was, and then what the assailant, the alleged assailant, is trying to inject as far as meaning and symbolism. And the anger is not, the anger is not necessarily, or what we have to, I guess, strive to do is separate that and not allow that blurring or compartmentalizing it might help from fusing those two subjects, because you're angry at a multinational that doesn't care about you, that kills, has plenty of victims, you know, blood on its hands, all of that anger could be entirely justified. But, and your, I guess, apathy, right? Yeah, maybe socially sort of edgy and unacceptable in polite circles. But to say it's necessarily... condoning the act that the individual perpetrated, it's what becomes of something that is intentional in this way, that this person did something that was thought out to have all of this meaning associated with it, that I think is confusing people into being seemingly like cheerleaders when they're interpreting the message. In the few details, like, we don't have a lot of evidence. It's coming out slowly, and there hasn't even been a full, like, investigation. But since we have, like, this incredibly high rate of media and high frequency of communication, we're all so aware of every detail of it, like, incredibly quickly. And part of that was the manhunt, right, or the person hunt.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, my point was, you know, we bow down to the cops all the time, but what do they really do here? They wandered around Central Park a little bit. Yeah, you had some divers go in, but they didn't find anything, which, you know, fair enough. But as far as the actual surveillance, that came from people. That came from independent companies. And as far as finding him, that was a person, an employee at McDonald's and a customer who tracked him down. You know, the cop came in and said, you're under arrest. Okay, applause for that. But you know, let's give people some credit, too, because they do a lot of important things, individual civilians. Without them, we would still have nothing. The guy would still be on the loose. So it just bothers me that, you know, we're constantly saying how great cops are. Let's give them even more money. And, you know, sometimes they don't deserve it. Sometimes, you know, they deserve something. Sometimes there are good cops out there, but too many times we overdo it. And I'm not sure why, if we're trying to keep on their good side or something, but I just like to, you know, pay tribute to individuals out there who do the right thing. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, if you think about this, it's extraordinary that this guy who murdered somebody on 6th Avenue was able to get out of the city by using nothing but a face mask, cash, a bicycle, and taking that bicycle into the park and then getting changed and leaving things around. It's amazing when you think about what a surveillance state we live in and what a failure of the surveillance state it has been. To not be able to capture this person before he left the city and got two states over.
Hang on. Is a failure of the surveillance state good for us? Because it sounds like it should be.
Well, it is, in the sense that it shows that it's ineffective, right? But it should also be a wake-up call to everybody who's in favor of this surveillance state, because they think it's going to keep them safe. Well, it doesn't look, keep you safe.
It's, you know, a surveillance state is never going to stop a crime from happening. It's only going to help track down the person who... It's only going to help track down the person who committed the crime, and that's what happened here. But what I like about this is that it wasn't state surveillance or government surveillance that did the work. It was a hodgepodge of individuals that pulled their resources together, and that is how this guy was eventually found. You know, obviously the word was spread, but the media did most of that, and you know, that's how you basically track people down if they need to be tracked down. I would be much more uncomfortable if the whole thing was done, as you say, where the guy was captured within minutes and they knew exactly where he was or what his intentions were. This way,
this is what people expect. This is what people think can happen with facial recognition technology, with artificial intelligence augmenting the capabilities of these camera systems and connecting them in ways that are more sophisticated than ever before. I think this demonstrates that what we believe to be some kind of law enforcement panacea that we knew as the surveillance state to keep us all safe is not actually keeping us safe. It should be considered a failure of that. It is this hodgepodge, this patchwork.
But again, Alex, it wouldn't have kept this guy safe from this killer. It couldn't have done that.
It might have caught the guy much quicker.
Yeah. But I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not comfortable with this all-knowing surveillance state that can move much faster.
I'm not saying that I want that by any means. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that this is a demonstration that that state does not actually exist.
Right.
Yeah, you're kind
of... All of this information that we are essentially trading for what we presume to be security purposes isn't really effective. Right. So, you know, you have to think about that trade-off.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think, though, that this hodgepodge of cameras that came to the ready, though, I think there are a lot of those cameras that NYPD has access to that are in the hands of private parties, not necessarily the state. I think there are a tremendous network of these cameras to which the NYPD has negotiated some form of access ahead of time.
Well, I think that's a mistake. I think it should always be up to the individual, the people who own the cameras, who run their particular businesses or whatnot, to share that information that feels appropriate. Look, let's look at it a different way. Let's say... this guy did something heroic, which he did not do, but let's say he did, all right? And people don't want the state to get him. Well, if they have control over their cameras and who they share it with, the guy is safe. you know, but because people felt this needs to be shared because they made that decision, that is why he was caught, period. And as long as people have that power, then we have a much less of a risk of falling into the all-knowing surveillance state that you're not safe from at any moment in time. Keep it in the hands of individuals. You know, I think that that is the only way to deal with this kind of technology in a safe way.
Well, it's certainly better than the alternative. I'll put it that way.
All right. Our phone number, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. If you didn't hear it on the radio, next week we will be taking phone calls on the radio, on Off the Hook, and we will not be on overtime next week. So kind of a trade-off there. We haven't taken shows on, we haven't taken calls on the show in over 4 years, I guess. And it's been a while, ever since before COVID, because we haven't been in the studio. We've been remote ever since then, because it's pretty awesome to be remote sometimes. We ask that you refrain from clogging up the phone lines next week, because we want to hear from the people who just listen to the radio. Because I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that we haven't heard from in years, and we'd like to hear their voices again, too. So our phone number, 802-321-4225. Kyle, is my point about to be proved by who's on the phone now? I guess let's find out. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Yes. Yeah.
See, this is what we don't want to happen next week. We don't want to hear this voice on the radio, only because we hear this voice so many times, and there are so many other voices out there. But with that said, it's so good to hear your voice again, Rebel.
On the radio,
he didn't even stop talking. This is what I'm talking about. Go ahead, talk. I'm not going to greet you a second time.
Okay. It's good that you're going to be back in the studio, back on the air. I could call in, you know. So, anyway, let's see. By the way, on what you're talking about catching people, that's why you have to show ID when you go on Amtrak. That's how they find them. This person, he'd gone on a Greyhound bus to Georgia or something?
That's not how they found him. This person in McDonald's saw him. Nobody saw his ID on a bus. They didn't know where he was going. They thought he was going to Atlanta.
Well, that's why you have to show ID now when you go on a Greyhound bus.
Well, unless that changed in the last couple of days, that's really... anyway, he had fake ID. So if he did have to show ID on a Greyhound bus, it was fake ID. So... I'm not a big fan of that either. And I never have to show ID on Amtrak, but that's a whole other thing.
Or at McDonald's.
I'm sorry, Kyle. Go ahead.
Or at McDonald's.
Who said that he has to show ID at
McDonald's?
You
don't have to show ID at McDonald's.
I know that, but who thinks you do?
You might get ID'd at McDonald's.
Why would you get ID'd at McDonald's? They don't serve beer.
No, like...
At least not here, they do.
Alleged killer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well...
Caller, did you have a question or comment for us?
Yeah. Have your ISDN line...
What?
That's your ISDN line.
How is our... What, are you calling from the 90s or something? Is this Rebel from 1991?
No, I mean, you know, because I'm using the T-Mobile. Remember, Sprint used to give you 50 gigabytes of, like, high-speed tethering data?
Yeah. Okay, I haven't had an ISDN line in decades, so I don't know what you're referring to.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, but now I have an ISDN line because... T-Mobile, Sprint used to give you like 50 gigabytes of tethering data, you know, like high speed, like, you know, 100 megabytes a second or 80 megabytes a second or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
But now that they merged with Sprint, now it's T-Mobile, and then now they give you 40 megabytes.
So you're...
When they merge. But now it's 30. Now they just reduce it to 30. So now I use up all my... Now I'm at 56 kilobits a second. And you're buffering now. I can't even, you know, like you buffer sometimes, like on the YouTube.
Well, we're intentionally buffering just for you.
So your contention is that your plan or the rate keeps your speeds to the levels akin to an ISDN line. Like 128, you're saying 56. That's like almost, that's
so
like
you
dialogue.
Don't actually have an ISDN line. You're
practically
just comparing your speed to an ISDN line.
Right, like, you know, it's like 30 megabytes of high speed. Oh, like when you watch TV on cable TV, there's, you watch too much TV. We're going to, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't compare.
They don't do that, do they?
They're kind of stingy with the data.
Wouldn't that be cool
days?
If they did? You've watched enough TV, you can't watch any more TV because you have to get a better plan.
Well, that's what T-Mobile is now. You know, if you I have unlimited data, but on my regular cell phone. But when I tether on my computer,
let's go in a little thought experiment. Okay, let's just say that this so-called data is actually information. And if we're not treating information as though it is something we want many people to have an abundance of, but rather we're holding it hostage in certain ways, what kind of people, I mean, what would they be missing as a people, would you say, if there was a so-called, let's say, scarcity of this data? Because it's,
well, they would not be having a very efficient computing experience.
Yeah, they would be devoid of information. Hmm. What kind of society do you think you would have with perhaps low amounts of information abound?
I'm willing to give it a try.
Well, my point is this. I'm surprised they don't take away the touch tone service on your cell phone. You know, if you use too much.
It doesn't work the same way, and I'm not going to get into that.
My point is we should be coming from a place of abundance. This is something plentiful supply, and it makes society better. And yeah, like you're saying, throttling it, being micromanaging every bit of it. If it's a network constraint or it's an emergency situations, the certain types of entertainment, perhaps that's almost in the sort of realm of net neutrality, but certainly our everyday need for an abundance of this precious data should be encouraged by all relevant parties. So I'm with you. I think it's absurd.
Right. Like when I use my data on my regular cell phone, that's unlimited. You know, the high speed is unlimited. If I had a wired line, like a file flying from the phone company or a cable modem, they don't tether the data. Like, you can use however many gigabytes of data, the high-speed data you need for your computer.
Yeah, and I think the realization is that you could use your cellular handset as a modem and have a whole lot of things that are employing what bandwidth the network has. And basically, they're counting on your behavior being more sporadic than connected all the time over your handset, because that's better for their sort of network design, having people pop up and use information, you know, use a little bit here and there. If everybody starts running like whole systems over their handsets, their capacity is reduced because it's being saturated constantly. I mean, that's like maybe the business argument. I don't know. I'm not in this world of telecom engineering and business plans. They have their reasons for how and what we get, but certainly, it should be expected that you're going to have situations where you need to use your handset as a modem. So, yeah, like it.
Right.
It is. It's a shame when GSM, GPRS data was too slow for any of this anyway, to say nothing of like encrypting it. And so just when the phones are fast enough to be used in the way you're describing, that they start saying, okay, no, you can't do that, that's tethering, or oh, your hotspot has too many devices, or you can't have anything these certain hours or whatever. Yeah, I mean, it's silly. It should be designed to be used in a much freer and like more, as I was alluding to, abundant, pro-abundance way.
Right, but then if we're in 5G now, I thought that would be, they would take away this kind of restriction when they had 5G.
The deployment is there, but it isn't necessarily being used to its full sort of design capacity. I don't know that. But I suspect that just because we see different infrastructure changing or more masts and different kinds of antennas and stuff, that it's not necessarily being operated like with like the pedal to the metal, like fully, you know, within like every bit of its ability. They're going to slowly introduce things and, of course, build business models around handsets and things that are capable of using the new technologies. But I think I have a 5G plan and I don't ever really get service because they don't particularly like the device I'm using or something. You know, like there's there's weird reasons for all of this. Like, it is absurd, I think.
Yeah, I mean, maybe in the future they'll, like, do something like that.
They're just very slow. Very slow implementation, I guess, is what I'm kind of saying.
But, is there a way to hack this or go around, like, so that, you know what I mean? Like, is there, like a way to get around these restrictions?
Trying different things, absolutely. Yeah, and doing what you can to... Yeah, like if it's a cable that's not working, try using a hotspot or try calling them like you're pretty good. You know, chat them up, find out what actually they're able to do. Maybe you have some trips that you're not actually going on, but you need this extra little bit of data, and you can work out a little short-term deal. That together, but it's weird, you know, and finding out the limitations, like what actually they're on offer, what's being offered, and reading the fine print, because they'll say sometimes or change the plan, and it's like, oh yeah, by the way, you can't hook up your laptop over USB or USB-C or over Bluetooth or whatever kind of hotspot, or you have a limit to two devices or something, or I don't know, certain hours of the day. Like I was saying, you got to look at the fine print, and they change that stuff dynamically because they don't really have a lot of strictures or regulation. They're not run like public utilities. They're private companies.
Right, exactly. And they're a West German company too, I might add. It's
not like, really. You know, the American T-Mobile is separate from T.
And there's no West Germany anymore either.
Okay, well, so there's no way to hack it so that you can get, you know.
Well, we never hacked said that.
No, there's always a way. Don't you dare say that, Rebel. The minute you believe that, it's over.
All circuits are busy now. Please try your call later.
804-0T. Well, Rebel, what that means is that your time has expired. I think he left. Okay, now we know how to make him hang up. Just play one of those recordings. Okay, thank you for that call. 802-321-4225 is our phone number. Good conversation you two are having there, Kyle.
I feel like we scared him off.
No, that wasn't the intent, but... It's fun anyway.
I was just trying to, you know, go into it.
No, it was a good
get into it with him, you know, really talk about
but
it.
But there are other people trying to get through.
Those are my silly theories. I want to be wrong. Uh-huh. Maybe I'm totally wrong.
Okay, let's take this this phone call. What, is it him again?
Well, it's...
You pick up the damn phone. We can't talk about who's on the phone before we pick up. Good evening. You're on off the... Go ahead, over time.
Okay, now I'm calling on the
it is him, see? Yeah, okay, Rebel, I don't know if you heard us, but we're trying to move on to other callers, and you're hogging all the time.
Oh, well, I know, you know. Okay, I'll call next week. What's the phone number for WBC?
No. You call all the time here, so take a week off next week. Let other people have a chance, and talk to us again in 2 weeks here. Okay?
Oh, what about on the hook on the radio?
Well, let's listen to the radio for a change. Just let other people call, because there are other people out there.
Yeah, of course.
All right, and they dial faster than you, too, so it's a moot point. They'll get on quickly. Thank you for your call. We do value your presence. Yes, Gila, go ahead.
Is Rebel still on the phone?
Nay.
No. Why would you ask that?
I was going to ask him if he could give us his email address, because if he's going to keep giving out ours... I would like to give out his so he can get some junk mail for a change.
Wait, why? What's wrong with giving out our address? We do that on the radio.
Right. I have no issue with giving out the show's address. I have an issue with people using the show's address when someone asks them for an email address.
Okay. And you think he's doing that?
Yes, I think Rebel went to the Tesla dealership in Queens and gave out the show's email address.
No. What makes you think?
Because we keep getting... Just idle speculation.
Well, there's a lot of people in Queens, you know. I don't know.
I also think Rebel used the show's email address when he got a home insurance quote.
You need a better spam filter. Because, most of the mail out there.
Apparently, I
spam.
Do.
Yeah. All right, 802-321-4225 is our phone number for anyone out there that wishes to be a part of the conversation, wherever it's going. Well, now we got rid of Rebel. Do we have anything to talk about? Wow.
Well, there's lots of speculation about, the drones still in the chat. That conversation is still going on. And, okay. I like the alien theories myself.
Please share some of the speculation that's going on.
Someone called Draken says it's the aliens, smiley face. I personally think it's probably related to a certain incident in Grover's Mill, New Jersey in 1938, but you can look that up for yourself on October 30th of 1938.
Yes, naturally. I mean, I'm assuming that part of the reason that it's not taking place in New York City is because, what, you can't see a drone at night in New York? Certainly not in Manhattan.
Do these things fly in the daytime at all? Does anybody know that?
I think the mysterious ones seem to have, at least in what I've been able to find out, it seems to be happening at night. Sometimes they're lit up, sometimes they're not. I know where we live, we're in Queens, and we're in proximity to two airports, so anyone flying unauthorized stuff around would get a lot of interested eyes on them that I think would be more inclined to do something about it.
Well, it's flying over Newark Airport, I heard, so... I'm not sure. I mean, yeah, I guess that's an invitation to try us out.
It'll be interesting. The classified briefing about that is tomorrow. So if you're going to that, please.
You got tickets?
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
OTH at 2600.com.
All right. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hey, it's Dr. Gonzo. I'm the guy who called in from China.
Are you in space now? What's going on? Boy.
I'm driving in the rain. Hear me?
It sounds like you're running in the rain, but okay, yeah, we hear you, but please don't risk your life on our account.
Is it better? It's probably my crappy.
You turned off the rain. Yeah, it's much better.
Okay, well, the phone's got a better audio system. So, okay. I'm calling in because I had an experience just yesterday. My father-in-law found himself needing to buy a phone. And my mother-in-law is in a nursing home, and where they're at that point in their life right now where he has to account for all the money he's spending and have, like, check receipts and all that. So, enter trying to buy a cell phone in 2024 using a check. First challenge we found is nobody wants to sell a cell phone without a contract. We couldn't give AT&T cash. We couldn't give... T-Mobile cash. Nobody was looking to sell phones. Target will only sell prepaid cards now. They don't sell phones locally anymore. Uh-huh. And the only place we were able to do it, God help us, was Walmart, who allowed us to buy one without a contract and without putting it on a plan and all that.
Wow.
It's the craziest time we live in. And amazingly, Walmart took a check, but I think I need to take 75 showers to gain there yet.
That's true. Alex, did you have something to contribute here?
Yeah, I've recently purchased a phone for somebody who lives overseas and just really didn't want to be subject to a contract, just wanted to have essentially almost like a pay-as-you-go type of SIM type card. This person would only be using the phone when he came into the United States. And I found actually that
it sounds Alex, like you froze. Yeah. Say that sentence again, because you just froze.
Oh, I did. I'm back, though. Okay, so there are a ton of options to do this in the city, in Manhattan, at some of these smaller, almost like wholesale cell phone stores that you can find around 28th Street and Broadway to, like, maybe 32nd and Broadway. It's kind of this weird area of the city that's been really highly gentrified, but also has a bunch of these wholesalers for perfumes, jewelry, watches, and a lot of cell phone shops. And in those shops, you can pick up a phone for like 20, 30 bucks and just get a pay-as-you-go subscription or a really, really low monthly fee. I was surprised. So, there's places, but I think you got to get away from the big chains.
Yeah, that's just, this life in, the Hudson Valley or the Catskills and you know, there's nothing. The malls are dead. You got mom and pop shops, I guess, but they're all looking to get you on plans too. But you're right. I don't think I went into any of those. But in my experience, I've always been very weary of those places. But I hear you.
Yeah.
Well, that's a reason not to be. A reason to realize they serve a purpose.
It's true. Yeah. No, they're kind of intimidating. I get it. You look in there and it's just, you know, it's not like a warm, inviting place. It's odd.
And Walmart is a warm, inviting place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's very inviting. Nice. You can wear whatever you want in Walmart. They at least have that.
Well, I guess, yeah, fashion is not their key.
Or nothing at all. So
I'm not sure about that. But so your problem is pretty much solved then.
Yeah, yeah, it worked out, but it was kind of shocking. And the woman at the counter there, she said they had only just started taking money for phones. And you know, here we are, and I'm like, I thought this was America, and it was all about the money, but it really apparently isn't. It's about hooking you onto a contract and maximizing shareholder value.
That's crazy. It's just the short-sightedness of latching on to a particular way of doing things without ever considering that maybe other people need a different way to do something. And, you know, whether that's landlines or paying for a cell phone with a check or whatever, you have to have these options open. Go ahead, Gila.
People are chiming in the chat suggesting that buying a phone off eBay or a Pixel from Google, apparently, yeah, that Target sells unlocked Pixel phones that you can use with any carrier, says someone. Caller.
Yeah, that's totally fine. And I think that's where my challenge came in. I had tons of 2024 solutions to a problem that he was using, like, you know, 1890 Czech technology. So... You know, so it's one of those things, the eBay and all that be damned. It's just, you know, he's an 87-year-old guy trying to make his way through, and he does okay. But, I don't know what people do when they don't have somebody they can fall back to.
Well, that's why we all need to take care of each other.
It was great talking to you guys. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks for your call. And Alex, I think you had a point?
Not in relation to the caller, but in relation to something that Rob had mentioned earlier, and for which I think the listeners on YouTube were clamoring, which is to speculate a little bit more on the drones in New Jersey. And I just wanted to ask Rob if he made an oblique reference to the Grover's Mill incident that had to deal with the War of the Worlds and the hysteria surrounding the broadcast of the War of the Worlds. That's what you were referencing, right?
It was, yes. 10 points to Alex.
Yeah, and there's like that Grover's Mill monument in New Jersey, right? About this, mm-hmm. like the Martian landing site. Right, where people got, you tell a story, you made the reference, which I thought was brilliant.
Yeah, there is an actual, Grover's Mill, New Jersey is a real place. When they wrote the War of the Worlds play that went over the radio in 1938, apparently Grover's Mill, New Jersey was chosen as the location. The original story, of course, took place in England. But when they were writing the radio version, they just dropped a pencil on a map and found something near it that sounded like an interesting place name, and that was Grover's Mill. And so there is a bronze plaque that you can visit, a monument to where they decided the Martian landing site was in Grover's Mill. And you can check that out if you're traveling and want to see some cool roadside attractions.
Cool. Our phone number, 802-321-4225. Phone lines are open.
But what a great reference to bring up in relation to the drone speculation, right? Or maybe this is all just to kind of whip us up into hysteria. One little bit of New Jersey.
Has anyone tried following, tracing out the path that the drones are taking? I don't think anyone has done that because I don't think it's easy to do. But maybe it's spelling out a word or something, you know?
Maybe it spells 2600.
I doubt that, but, you know, it's whoever's behind this knows what they're doing. So,
well, it's take me to your leader, but they're very confused about, I mean, it's a transitional point. It's just a lot going on. And yeah, No, it's no laughing matter. This isn't a joke.
Yeah, it is. It's funny.
No, it's not funny. There's nothing funny. This is very serious. There are no calls on the line.
Okay, that's more serious, I think. But we don't have to stay on the air. I mean, it's not like radio. We can just sign off any time. So let's give it another minute, and we can, adjourn.
Yes. 802-321-4225. That's 802-321-HACK. Tell us what's on your mind. We want to know what you're thinking. If no one's interested in talking with us, we can roll it up a little early today. So what have you got there, Gayla?
So the Wonderball says we are going to have another caller.
What, was that some kind of like horoscope or something?
No, I got this really fun disco-looking magic 8-ball.
Oh,
I like it. Clickable
disco ball. And I asked it if we would get another caller, and it says the future is bright. So
the future being bright can mean we get no more calls, and we can just turn in early, start early on dinner, that sort of thing. But
see, it's open for interpretation, and I appreciate that. It's not just yes.
All the best divination is open to interpretation.
I also shook it again, and now it says yes, boogie down.
That works for me.
Yeah, I don't like your 8-ball. It's not like the one I had as a kid. All right, we have a phone call.
It comes through.
All right, let's.
It worked.
Let's take this call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Turn in early.
Speak up. What are you shaking your head for? What does that mean?
I don't think I think it's a wrong number.
Well, it was us on the phone. I heard our voices, so they just called up and played us. Wow, that was clever. You got us. Wow. I can only imagine the many clever things you do in a day.
I'm pretty sure that might have been Rebel, and then he realized that he would have been in gross violation.
Well, you can tell if it's Rebel. We do get caller ID.
Okay, and he still doesn't realize he's in gross violation, but
is that him? Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hotel reservation. For all other calls, press pound.
Just for calling today, you'll have the opportunity to receive a $100 retail rebate voucher, which you can redeem from your purchases at major retailers like Walmart, Target, and many more.
Hello.
The $100 rebate voucher is yours
activated
today for just $1.95. when you subscribe to one of our savings programs. So make sure you have your credit card.
There's not enough evidence here to suggest that's Rebel.
All right. Excuse me.
Hung up? Okay. 802-321-4225. We'll give it another minute and a half. Okay.
You do not need to provide a credit card. Well, I mean,
go ahead. And good evening. You're on Off the Cover Time. Go ahead.
When you subscribe to one of our
things. Okay, here's the deal. We're going to give it one more minute. If we get another call like that, we're done for the night. Period. Yeah, I'm not the most patient person in the world sometimes. All right, here we go. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. What was that, Kyle?
Hello.
Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Hey, I want to ask you guys about a simple question.
Uh-huh.
How do those... So I want to get an extra phone number, so I use that thing called Text Now, but they block me for any verification purposes. How do they do that?
I don't know what he's talking about. Alex, you know? Go ahead.
It's a Google phone. You can get a separate phone number so they can call you and you can use that for anything else.
It's like a virtual number service.
Yeah, correct.
And you forward it.
Pardon me?
You like forward it or something. Anyway, go on.
Alex, what do you have?
Well, I just wanted
he changed his mind.
Number. I just want another number so I can say have that with Facebook so they can text me a special code or something. And I'm using this thing called Text Now, which is one of the apps you get from Android phones. But if I don't pay them, they will disable me for verification purposes. So how do they know it's a verification code sending to me on that number? That's why I don't understand.
Does anybody understand this?
Is that from a third party, the verification? Like, if you're using it with a third party and they sense that, you're saying they limit the way you're using it?
Well, it's basically, like, sometimes, what did I do? I use something, like, I'm using a log on to my bank account thing, so they'll send me a verification code, and I got to punch that in?
Yes.
And if that excuse me, that verification code never gets through to me because I have to pay extra to get to it.
So they're filtering. They're doing some kind of inspection of your traffic and not providing certain content or certain messages based on where they're coming from, which is probably whatever SMS service the bank is using to send those codes. So how much is it? What do they want for it?
They want like $6.99 a month or something like that.
So, on top of whatever you're already paying?
Well, it's free until all those other things.
I see. So have you found one that works a little better or works in a different way that you like?
Well, I was thinking of trying to use Google phone or the Google number or something.
All right. Well, they'll take it away from you if you don't use it at all. I found that out the hard way.
Oh, yeah. They do take it away from you if you don't use the number.
I was to the point of, like, I had an ongoing message with myself that was just, like, hi, back and forth. And that worked for a really long time until I didn't keep it up. I stopped talking to myself, if that makes sense.
Oh, okay. Do you guys know anything about the Google number at all, or no?
What do you mean about the Google number? About Google Voice?
Well, they have a Google number. I go to NGIT, actually not NGIT, dentistry, New Jersey dentistry for my dental work.
Okay, don't give out your whole care routine, but.
Yeah,
gotcha.
But they use Google numbers, so I can text the students or whatever stuff that I need, and so I don't need to talk to the student dentist at all.
Okay.
But they can text me, I can call them, I can do all those other things. So I was just wondering whether I should try to go with a Google number or not.
It does work. I used it for some time and was able to message and use a fair amount of the, like, voicemail features. I don't know. You should play around with it. There are other services, like virtual voice services, that may be more dedicated, may work better. So read some reviews, do a little bit of that to get a sense of what's out there. But you can set one up because, again, like the other service you're already using, it's free. So that it's kind of a low cost. So if you use it just for, like, getting, I don't know, like alerts about takeout orders or something, like or something simple.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to use it more because you like it, you can sort of slowly rely on it more as you use your other services less, or whatever makes sense for your scenario. Anyway, I'll let that.
Go on. Cool. I just want to tell you guys are great, and you are knowledgeable and very, very enlightening listening to you guys.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call.
Really generous and kind of you to say. Thank you for your listening.
Hey, I love this. But also, you guys really know almost everything.
Oh, that's so not true.
Actually, it's quite the opposite in my view. Like, it's all about not really knowing anything or knowing a certain batch of things that makes sense in some way to me. But, like, I think still being open and being kind of learning new stuff and being malleable in your learning is important, because you get kind of set in, like, oh, you do know a lot. I mean, we know what we know and try to, like, share as much as we can and build on that knowledge. But it's good that it comes off that way. But I by no means would take that kind of credit.
No. Like you guys are good in the sense that you are humble and at the same time knowledgeable, and you are not snotty at all. So that makes everything great.
Well, cheers. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks for your call.
Hey, take care, guys.
All right. Good night. Okay. Do we end now? Or what's that?
That was very kind of him to say that.
Yes.
Yeah, very, very West German, as Rebel would say.
Rob, go ahead. Gila, whatever.
Something that was mentioned by a listener was that we should be promoting the holiday specials on the 2600 website, which obviously we didn't do on the radio. But if you want to do that here, always an option.
Well, yeah. Okay. But there are holiday specials on the 2600 website.
They will be. Right now, there's an announcement about show.
No, they're on the website right now.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. On the main page, you have to go to the store. But yeah, they're there.
There's an announcement that's on the website, but store.2600.com. As you can see, we're not really great at promoting ourselves, but we're talking about
five different ways. There are many announcements. Yeah. They're all in different places.
You can get, like, you know, cheap flash drives, and you can get extended subscriptions and things like that. Yeah, Gila.
Also, just looking ahead, we will be on the air 2 weeks from tonight. We will be on the air 3 weeks
from tonight. What do you mean we'll be on the air next week? What do you mean?
I know, but some people might have other plans in 2 weeks, in 3 weeks.
Okay, for the holidays, we'll be on the air, but we will be on the air next week as well.
We'll be on the air next week, but nobody was wondering about that. The 18th is like whatever, but the 25th and the 1st, we will be on the air. Whether we'll be on overtime is a different question.
If we're on the air, we can be on overtime. But if we're taking phone calls on the air, then we're not going to be on overtime. And next week, we're taking phone calls on the air, so there won't be an overtime. It's simple.
So stay tuned here to find out if there's going to be overtime on the 25th and the 1st, but there's definitely off the hook on WBAI those nights.
Correct.
Yeah. And just to put the info out there, for I know sometimes folks find us on YouTube without listening to the radio show first, so you can catch our main program, the main thing we do that this is an accessory to, on WBAI.org. Wherever in the world you are, you can log on and listen to us live on WBAI.org at 7 p.m. Eastern United States time
and on
Wednesday evenings.
If you have one of these things called radios, you can tune to 99.5 FM in the New York City area. The tri-state area, actually, and listen to us at those times, and listen to the radio at all times.
Absolutely. Catch us on the radio if you're local. We love that.
We have a last phone call, Kyle?
We're going to go westbound.
Okay, I don't know what that is, but I haven't brought up the phone yet, so is there a phone call, Kyle?
Yes.
Okay, good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Speak up. There's nobody there, Kyle. There's nobody there.
Okay.
All right. I think it's a good time as any to call it a night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, when you're...
Let's all talk over each other. That's fine. We can do that.
We're just all agreeing with each other. Uh-huh. I would like to say...
You're going to give that one another chance? We're going to give it one more chance? All right. One more chance. That's the last time. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Who's going ahead?
You.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I just want to thank the 55 people who are hanging in with us live in the chat right now.
Lord have mercy.
Or who are, I know, right? Watching live right now, which is very cool. We're glad you're here.
We know there are so many better ways to spend your Wednesday evening. Thank you for choosing us. Let's see who's on the phone here. Good evening. You're on overtime. Go ahead. That's it. I'm done. I'm finished. That's the last straw.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall.
As I fade into the distance.
Remember, when you're adding moonshine to your eggnog, 3 milliliters is a shot.
Yeah, we're not picking that up, so don't even touch it, Kyle. We're done. We're finished. It's over. Good night. Thank you, everybody. OTH at 2600.com is our address.
Drink responsibly during the holidays.
We're getting back on the air before the holidays.
No, I mean, if you're starting, you know, early, you know, if you're making
don't
plans.
Don't do that. No, don't start early.
Don't drive, you know, look out on the road.
All right. We'll see you next time. Good night.